Pentecost was one of three Jewish feasts in Jerusalem. And on this 50th day after the Pasch, Jews, in remembrance of the Mosaic law, would give thanks to God for their harvest. On this day, the Lord sent the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom he had promised. Pentecost was the occasion of the descent of the Holy Spirit from heaven to earth, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as described and as you've heard in the Acts of the Apostles. It occurred in Jerusalem, in the upper room, where the apostles were gathered in prayer with the Blessed Virgin Mary. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house, and that God's presence came as tongues of fire to ignite the hearts of those present. Divine gifts were bestowed as special charisms that enabled them to speak in one language but to be heard in every language, which is distinct to the prayer of tongues, which some charismatics claim today. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came to manifest the presence of Christ within and out through the works of mercy. In the midst of our problems and disappointments, the Church remains faithful to the mystery of this, her birthday. While it is an historical fact that the Church came forth on the day of Pentecost, in a certain sense, one can say that she has never left it. Spiritually, the events of Pentecost do not belong merely to the past. The Church is always in the upper room of Christ, in her heart. The Holy Spirit, given to the Apostles as the Counselor, is the guardian of hope in the hearts of all of God's faithful today. Of the effects of that day, the spiritual effects given by the Holy Spirit, we often focus on the seven gifts bestowed. Next weekend, confirmation in this church, we'll hear more about those seven gifts. And if they are confirmed, ask yourself, do I know them? Are they actual, practical gifts in my life? And what does the Word of God say regarding these seven gifts? Well, what does the Word of God reveal regarding the greatest of these gifts? I challenge you at some time to pick up your Bible at home, don't drop it, but pick it up and open it to the very centre of the book itself. If you find the very centre, just by looking at estimation, what better centre, you'll probably find a book called the Book of Wisdom. And in the Book of Wisdom, almost halfway through, there's the Prayer of Wisdom. It is truly wisdom that is the greatest of those gifts given. And we can attain wisdom by working our way up to the various gifts, beginning with the fear of the Lord, sometimes translated now as wonder and awe. The fear of the Lord is not so much a fearful mentality regarding God, but rather fearful of those things that take us away from God, such as sin. We ought to be fearful of sin. We ought to be fearful of damnation, as we are fearful of cancer or hurting our body or an accident. God is our loving Father, and anything that separates us from him, we ought to be wary of. God, however, is a God of wonder and a God of awe. And from that God, we go up one step to the gift of fortitude or courage. We need to be courageous as Catholics today to manifest the Christian faith given to us by Christ. We're living in a very difficult and secular age. The world is known times like this before, but we need courage, fortitude, to be bolstered in what we believe. Stepping up, we find after the gift of courage or fortitude, the gift of piety or reverence, respect. How important respect is for God, holy places and holy persons, and even within the home. Respect for our parents, respect for each other, is part and parcel of who we are as Christians, that we respect and revere the presence of God. We need to manifest that respect in a world that looks at everything is almost at the same level. No, there is a hierarchy of being and a hierarchy of love. And this gift helps us recall that and also to practice that in a very real terms within the home. After the gift of reverence, we now have the gift of counsel or right judgment. What to say at the right time in the right way is so important. And at difficult times when you're in an awkward situation and you need to say something, pray that you receive the right words, that gift of counsel, so that what you say might not be you, but rather God speaking through you. The top three gifts perfect the great virtues, faith, hope, and love. Faith is perfected by the gift of understanding. We need to understand, to probe the mysteries of our faith better, to analyse them and put them together in a way that the world cannot fathom. And that comes from the Holy Spirit, to understand the great mysteries of the Trinity, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the real presence of the Eucharist. We pray for ever clearer understanding in our own minds. Knowledge perfects the great virtue of hope, because the more you know, the more hopeful you are. And therefore we need to broaden our knowledge. We need to grasp the reality of what we believe and also extend it by learning more, studying more. And of course, the greatest of all the gifts is wisdom, that gift that perfects charity. And wisdom is the ability to see things, issues, events, and persons as God sees them, and to order them then appropriately. It's so often difficult that people make the wrong choice in life because they don't see things from the right perspective. Wisdom gives you that viewpoint. One person who was endowed with the gift of wisdom and lived it in very practical terms was also a woman filled with tremendous charity. That's why she set up a religious order called the Missionaries of Charity. Yes, I'm speaking about Mother Teresa, who in September this year will be canonised as Saint Teresa of Calcutta. During her life, Mother Teresa worked tirelessly on behalf of the poor. Her love knew no bounds, nor did her energy, as she crisscrossed the globe, pleading for support and inviting others to see the face of Jesus in the poorest of the poor. She wore herself out. On September 5th, 1997, God called her home. Her legacy, however, lives on. Speaking to a strained and weary, speaking in a strained and weary voice in 2003, St. John Paul, at her beatification ceremony, with 300,000 people present in Rome, said, "She is truly an icon of the Good Samaritan." And then this year, when we have the Jubilee of Mercy and the icon is the Good Samaritan, think of Mother Teresa and the work that she did. We might recall that, being a wise woman, she was noted by the world for her wisdom. In 1979, she received the Nobel Peace Prize. And on that occasion, she preached to the world a prayer of peace, the prayer of St. Francis, that we all might become instruments of peace. I think it was the first time ever a Nobel Peace Prize award winner ever spoke in a prayer. 3 years later, in 1982, she was invited to the USA to give an address to the Harvard University and receive an award there. There were 20,000 people present. When she was introduced as Mother Teresa of the Poor People in India, she got up to speak and said, "You call me a person from a poor country, but you in America are much poorer because you kill your babies. Abortion is murder." And she went on to explain, "And you need to be virgins and to give yourself as a virgin in marriage to your husband or wife forever." She preached hard and long on the right to life, virginity, consecration to God, to prayer. It was a secular environment. And at the end, you could not hear, apparently, anything drop. Then they stood up and gave her a standing ovation. So think about that. She gave them a sense of right and wrong. She preached the words of wisdom even then. So we think about her life, and as we come closer to her canonization, we pray that we might too be like her, endowed with that wise gift, therefore filled with charity and living out the faith to all that we meet. Praise be Jesus Christ.